Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
Hi, I'm Mike Dilk, and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family, and your friends. Each week, I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. This week's show looks at oral and general hygiene poverty with TV presenter Helen Skelton.
They hear anecdotally stories all the time of people who are not going to job interviews, people who are choosing not to go to work, people who are, and this isn't just about teeth, this is about wider hygiene poverty, of which oral hygiene is part of that.
Then also, there's some surprising information on what snacks might be worse than others as far as your teeth are concerned.
Actually, there is a decay inhibiting thing in chocolate, in cocoa beans that go into chocolate. So dark chocolate, particularly very dark chocolate, is probably actually not a bad thing and may actually be good for you.
I talked with Dr. Nigel Carter, who's chief executive of the Oral Health Foundation. So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you. Helen Skelton is a Morning Live BBC One presenter. She also presents on Countryfile. But I found out that she's also a runner.
Yeah, well, it's kind of you to call me a runner. I'm not sure anyone who's decent at running would agree, given my times and stuff. But yes, I do. I have done lots of running over the years. So I did a marathon this year. I used to do ultra marathons once upon a time. So I guess...
Marathons, God, that's bonkers. All right, so tell me, what was your time in the London Marathon?
4:30.
Okay, I did it once and you beat me by a long way. I was like 5.5 hours, I think. would you do it again?
It doesn't matter about the time. I guess.
No.
I think with a marathon, it's like asking people what... It's the same as asking a woman how much she weighs. Like, it doesn't, you know, the clues in the title, you ran a marathon. Fair play. Well done.
Did you finish the marathon with a smile on your face?
Oh, yeah, I just sang and smiled all the way around.
So I did a while ago the London half marathon, and I found actually when I finished it, my whole body ached, but my smiling muscles were absolute agony.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's because my name was on my shirt, so people would shout, "Go on, Mike! Go on, Mike!" And it was an involuntary reaction. I just had to smile at them.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's my only marathon advice I ever impart, is that I'm like, put your name on your shirt, because you're exactly that. People shout, you know, nice cheer for you, and it's hard not to get involved, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. But that's the kind of link I was looking for, the marathon smile.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Discussion. Yeah, well, it's a bit local radio kind of naff link, but I thought I'd go for it anyway. I've got the perfect face for radio. Perfect body for radio, really, and certainly the perfect smile. My teeth, they're kind of a bit crooked, and I've got loads of fillings. But it doesn't worry me too much. Do you think I'm just odd, or do people worry about their smile and their teeth to a point where it kind of matters?
Well, 79% of people surveyed as part of this research for Philips Sonicare said that they do think they're judged by their appearance of teeth. 61% of them think that poor hygiene impacts their confidence. And that is linked to people not going on dates, not going on job interviews, all the rest of it. You know, you said yourself there, oh, I've got the smile for radio, which A, I wouldn't agree with, but B, like, if you're hinting to the suggestion that you haven't done a job that you might want to do because of your teeth, then that kind of backs up the point, doesn't it? I think I would argue that the way that you feel is impacted by the way that you think you look for a lot of people. And in terms of oral hygiene, you know, if you think you've got coffee breath or garlic bread, you're not necessarily going to get close to someone. If you think you've got loads of stuff in your teeth, it can impact your confidence. That's a totally subjective thing. But I think what this campaign is doing is trying to get people to engage with the campaign, to buy a Philips Sonicare toothbrush at boots.com to trigger a donation that supports hygiene banks, which is the bigger problem.
We'll certainly get on to what people can do to help and the problem, that sort of thing. But let's just bring it back to you for a moment. We don't all have jobs that are sort of in the public eye as much as you as a TV presenter. But what I really want to know, I want to ask, just before you go on, do you have like a spinach checker, like spinach in your teeth kind of checker? Does someone look at you and say, right, let's have a quick look. Have you kind of still got your breakfast left in your teeth? Does that actually happen before you're on air?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I think there's no one who is an actual official spinach checker, but there's definitely, like, before you're on TV, like in any walk of life, if you're going into an important meeting, if you're going into a first date, if you're going on telly, if you're going to be a teacher standing at the front of the class, or if you're going to give a presentation at work, the chances that you look in the mirror or ask your mate to look at your face, like, have I got anything on my face? Have I got anything in my teeth? I think that's a really common thing, and that's a really normal thing, I would argue, for a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Less so for me, because I do podcasts and radio, so I'm generally less worried about it. Although we're talking via Zoom, so you can see me. So I suppose I don't want to scare you too much with spinach in my teeth.
Well, it only matters if you're bothered. Like, if you're not bothered, if you've got spinach in your teeth, then it doesn't matter. But if you're the kind of person who stands up in front of a room of people and does a presentation and then goes, oh my Lord, I had something all over your face, and you feel, you know, that's maybe stops you being the best version of yourself, then that's when it's an issue, isn't it?
I guess it is. Let's go on a little bit to kind of other ways that it might actually impact people's life. You touched on a couple, you know, sort of potentially going out for dates and that sort of thing. But are there any other ways that you've sort of come across?
Well, I think speaking to the hygiene bank, the thing that they were sort of talking about, which is almost, it would be sad to hear, you know, people, they hear anecdotally stories all the time of people who are not going to job interviews, people who are choosing not to go to work, people who are, and this isn't just about teeth, this is about wider hygiene poverty, of which oral hygiene is part of that. You know, people not going to meet their friends. All of those things can feed into isolation and loneliness and depression. And it feels like we're kind of making it a bigger thing than it is. But that is what is happening. And that is why these hygiene banks exist. And, you know, if they're hearing stories of people who are depressed, who are lonely, who are choosing not to go to work, then that's why they have set up the mechanisms that they have to help try and combat that.
Right. And, you know, what's the driver behind this? Is it pure and simple hygiene poverty? You know, people not having enough money to buy the things that they need?
100%, yeah. I think food banks are a concept that people are aware of. They're things that people see in the supermarket. And it's not an alien concept anymore, is it, to buy an extra tin of soup or an extra packet of rice?
Unfortunately not. It's all too familiar.
Yeah, and it's, hygiene poverty is part of the same picture. You know, there are millions of people in the UK living in hygiene poverty, and that means people who are choosing to buy bread and milk instead of shampoo and face cream because they can't afford to do both. People who are choosing to buy, you know, nappies instead of tampons because they can't afford to buy both. And that is obviously impacting on people's lives and the societies that we all live in. So that's why these hygiene banks exist. That's who Philips Sonic are trying to support.
Okay, and presumably there's a lot more important knock-on effects other than not just wanting to meet up with your friends. You know, poor oral health hygiene not only affects your smile, but there can be real serious health issues associated with it. Maybe not, you know, today or tomorrow, but further down the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stories and studies and research now, aren't there, about oral hygiene and tooth decay being linked to heart disease, to being linked to Alzheimer's. I'm not the right person to start, you know, pulling on the thread of where that
research... I thought you knew everything, Helen. I was going to ask you all about that.
Well, there was this one study done that was done by a group of researchers. No, I'm definitely no doctor, but all of those studies and research are out there and are discussed and are alluded to. But let's be honest, I think we can all, doctor or no doctor, you can all agree that prevention is better than cure. And anybody who's ever had to have a root canal or a filling will tell you, I'd rather not have one, thanks.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think things are definitely changing? So I'm a little bit older than you, and I've got a head absolutely full of fillings. But I really think when I went to the dentist as a kid, he was real drill and fill. I got the feeling he was like paid on piece rate kind of thing, paid by the number of fillings. And the result is my head is absolute full of fillings. And I think know that's changing now. I think people have a better approach to oral health and hygiene, including dentists. Like, they try not to do fillings.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I too have more fillings than I would like to have. I have more root canals than I would like to have. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If we could go back in time, what would we change? If fillings is one of them, for sure.
Yeah, fillings is one. And the other thing that seems to happen a lot more now, there's a lot more orthodontal work. Is that right? How do you say orthodontal work?
What, in terms of aesthetics?
Yeah. So my teeth stick out all over the place. And, you know, if I was a kid now, I'm sure the dentist would be suggesting that I have braces and all the rest of it. But so that seems to happen a lot more now.
I think that backs up the initial point that we're talking about when you were sort of saying, does it matter about the way we look? But I think, you know, you're suggesting that there's a lot more people doing dental work because of aesthetics. That's the point, doesn't it? That so many people, 79% of us, think that they are judged for the appearance of their teeth. 61% of us think that poor oral hygiene impacts your confidence. And, you know, that backs up what you're suggesting, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, it's very true. It's very true. Although I do, sometimes you come across people and their teeth are absolutely perfect. And in some ways, that looks a bit odd as well.
Well, I don't know. It's not my place to judge someone on their teeth. I guess if it makes you feel good, then it's right for you, isn't it? There's some kind of people with hairstyles that wouldn't be for me. But if it makes you feel good, I think if it makes you feel good, then it's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. All right, so look, this obviously is an issue for an awful lot of people. And are there any statistics on the number of people that are kind of living in oral poor hygiene scenario because they can't get what they need? You mentioned statistics earlier in the chat.
Yeah, well, there's over 4 million people living in hygiene poverty, of which oral hygiene is, you know, is part of that.
Right.
I think the ones that, there's loads of statistics that we can dive into. The headline ones are 79%, which is nearly 8 in 10 people think that they're judged for their oral hygiene. For me, 16% of people surveyed by Philips Sonicare said that their poor oral hygiene has stopped them applying for a job. I mean, that, when we were talking anecdotally and sort of saying, oh, does it matter? But if 16% of people are saying that they didn't go for the job because of the way their teeth look, that is a shame for all of us, isn't it?
It's a shame. That's a shame on society. It's just kind of a shameful figure, really.
you know, 38% of people feel that poor oral hygiene impacts their employability. So again, you know, you imagine all those people, that's nearly 4 in 10 people sitting there thinking, I'm not going to get this job because of the way that I look. 49% of people feel that the effects of poor hygiene impact their ability to have a relationship. You know, we're in a day and age when we're so aware of mental health and depression. And if half of the people surveyed think that their hygiene impacts their ability to have a relationship, again, how many people, how sad is that? And what a wonderful way that, you know, the Hygiene Bank is trying to tackle some of those issues.
Yeah. Okay, so if people are listening to this, two things really, they feel they need some help or they would like to do something positive to help this quite large number of people that are in this situation. What can we all do?
Well, two things. One, find your nearest drop-off point, a Hygiene Bank drop-off point. There's a website you just go to, thehygienebank.com. You can put in your postcode and you can make a donation there. And two, if you want to buy a Philips Sonicare toothbrush via Boots.com, that'll trigger a £1 donation. The donation then supports the Hygiene Bank, and that's where this all starts and ends, really. If you're doing your shopping anyway, trigger that donation. It goes to a mechanism that is helping millions of people up and down the country in a wonderful way.
Okay, right, that's a perfect place to end it. Although I want to ask you one more question, Helen. When are you doing another marathon?
Definitely not this month. I'll definitely do it again to try and go closer to 4, but not imminently.
You haven't got one in the diary then?
No, not yet.
Okay, all right, well, we will be watching and wanting to know and cheering you on when you run your next marathon.
Bless you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for chatting.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My next guest is Dr. Nigel Carter. He's Chief Executive of the Oral Health Foundation. And we covered all kinds of oral health topics. But my first question was, as a dentist, is he a doctor?
There was a long, long battle which took about 10 years, probably going back to the 1980s, of a campaign of call yourself doctor as a dentist. We're virtually the only country that doesn't automatically call dentist doctor, but I think most people now, 20, 30 years on from when the decision was eventually made that we could call ourselves doctor, most people now use the courtesy.
Okay, I'm just a little slow on the uptake then, 20 or 30 years behind everyone else. That's fair enough. I mean, that's normal. So
it was always a bit strange. I mean, I've always travelled quite a lot, and you would automatically, it felt quite strange when you would go to a country and they would refer to you as doctor because we weren't used to it, but everywhere sure. else in the world does.
Okay, all right, fair enough. All right, on with the discussion in question, the topic in question, really, and it's sort of snacking comes into everyday life, and it happens a lot in my family. So, you know, it's pretty normal, common, really. At the end of the day, if I'm sitting with my family, often watching telly because we're all a bit tired, you know, I've got kids. Dad, that's me, will say, anyone peckish? Anyone fancy some cheese on toast? And most people in the family say, yeah, I'll have a cheese on toast, Dad. Is that a bad thing?
Cheese on toast is probably not a bad thing at all. Cheese, in fact, is a bit inhibiting for decay, so cheese as such is not a bad thing after meal. When you tie it in with the toast, then you've got a bit of fermentable carbohydrate going in there, but you're not offering them sugary snacks, which is the great thing. Whereas what we found from the survey that we've done is that about 38% of people have a sugary snack every evening after their main meal, and it is those sugary snacks that mean that the teeth are constantly under attack and are more likely to develop decay.
So as well as the cheese on toast, it is possible some evenings we'll have chocolate, a piece of chocolate. In fact, sometimes I'm quite surprised at how fast we get through the slab of chocolate. So we're not immune to having sweet and sugary snacks in the evening.
But is it plain chocolate or milk chocolate?
Well, the adults like plain, and the children like milk.
Oh, well, the adults win the prize because actually there is a decay inhibiting thing in chocolate, in cocoa beans that go into chocolate. So dark chocolate, particularly very dark chocolate, is probably actually not a bad thing and may actually be good for you. When we get down to milk chocolate, that effect is diluted and you're more likely to have sugary additions in there. So we need to get the kids onto the dark chocolate.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll mention that to them next time. Now, when I was a kid, probably quite small, 5 or 6, my parents used to say, right, it's bedtime and time for your bed sweet. So it was like a part of the going to bed ritual. And I think their way of thinking was, right, give little Michael a sweet just before he goes to bed, because then he's going to brush his teeth, get into bed. So, you know, there's less damage done, because quite soon after eating the sweet thing, he's going to brush his teeth. Were they right?
Sort of right and wrong. I mean, sugary snacks late at night, not a good thing. Brushing your teeth before bed, it's the most important one of the day, because our tooth, our natural protective mechanism in the mouth is saliva, and our saliva flow reduces when we're at sleep, so we're less protected. So actually that last thing at night, brushing, is the really important one. And again, our research has shown that about 1 in 5 people skip brushing before bed at least a few times a week. And 14% actually skip it every night. So
that's a big number. I mean, that surprises me.
It's a big number. It's the most important one. In a way, we'd rather that they missed the other one during the day. We now say last thing at night and at one other time during the day. And it's interesting because different racial groups have different habits, particularly if you look at the hotter countries, the Indian subcontinent and across the Middle East, there's a tendency there to brush once a day when you shower, which could be at any time of day. But this last thing at night, and in general for most people, it's first thing in the morning. But, you know, the second one is less critical than that last thing at night, which is really important.
I suppose what I was getting at is, if you do have a sweet, sugary snack in the evening, but then brush your teeth, you know, is it all? I mean, to some extent, you're going to negate the problems of the sweet, sugary snack, are you?
It depends how close it is to bedtime that you're having the sugary snack. because the thing that's happening here is that sugar reacts with the bacteria in plaque. They love it, they eat it, they form acid. That acid starts over many thousands of attacks to dissolve the enamel of the teeth. So actually during that period, for about 45 minutes to an hour after a sugary snack, the enamel is slightly softened and could more easily be brushed away. So we would always say leave brushing your teeth until probably about an hour after you've had any sugary snack.
Okay.
So too close to bedtime for that sugary snack? No. Preferably no sugary snack at all.
Yeah, all right. So that brings us on to maybe breakfast time, brushing teeth before or after breakfast.
The jury is out on that one. I think in general, we now say it's better to actually brush the teeth before breakfast, get rid of all the plaque, and then there's nothing to act on. The counter to that is if you get the fluoride from our toothpaste into the mouth after we've eaten, then it's going to have more effect in reducing the decay. So you will have academics arguing about this, and there's no right or wrong there. So whatever, in a way, whatever you feel comfortable with. But I think most people these days are brushing before breakfast rather than after. That is, of course, if they're having breakfast these days. So many people skip it.
All right. Something that probably is a little bit more black and white. A lot of foods, like and kind of snacking foods, I think probably have a lot of sugar in them, but they kind of try and hide it. A lot of kind of these bars are branded as kind of a healthy snack, a healthy thing to have. Is that a problem for our teeth? I can imagine it might be.
It's absolutely a problem for our teeth. And I mean, the whole thing about sugar labeling is a whole different argument. And we really think that, food labeling, some sort of traffic light system, and there are various different ones around the world on the front of pack is informative. Yes, we've got ingredients lists, but as someone with a food allergy, have you tried reading those labels? You need a magnifying glass.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then, as you quite rightly said, sugar is hidden. We might recognize that sucrose is the sugar that we get on a spoon and put in our tea, but then we've got the maltoses, the fructoses, all these different oses, which are in effect sugars. So we've got to study the labels carefully. And equally, no added sugar is a bit of a misnomer because it depends how much sugar there is in the product to start off with, whether it's going to
Do
be
you think
harmful.
manufacturers hide this stuff on purpose, or is it just the way it goes?
I think there's an element of hiding it on purpose. We have to recognize that when it comes to processed food, sugar is a very cheap bulking ingredient. And that's why we probably have more sugar in foods than we expect.
Right.
And if we look at, you may have seen the Panorama program recently on baby foods and these pouches, which are full of sugar. And traditionally, baby food very often has been based on apple puree, which of course is really high in sugar, but it's a very cheap way of providing bulk in baby foods. If we didn't give our babies this sugary diet, they wouldn't develop a sweet tooth and crave for sugary foods through the rest of their life. So there's an educational thing there, and I think it's back to basics. I mean, for baby foods, prepare your own at home has got to be the way, because some of the convenience foods in pouches are really unhealthy.
Yeah, prepare it yourself, you know what's in it. So,
Yeah.
okay. More general question, electric or manual toothbrush?
Both can do the job. I always used to say when the electric toothbrushes came out and there was advertising in that era that what you hadn't got on the end when you got a manual toothbrush was their fancy electric bit. You still need the hand on the end of the electric toothbrush to be guiding it properly. There's a lot of evidence out there that they are more effective at removing plaque. And with a manual toothbrush, yes, you can remove all the plaque, but you'll probably need to spend longer doing it. So, you know, particularly the oscillating rotating type of toothbrush really works in between the teeth, and it's the plaque, the bacterial film that's forming in between the teeth that causes most of the problems with both decay and gum disease.
Okay, which brings on to the question about flossing. When you go and see the dentist and he says, "So, do you floss every day?" Everyone says, "Yes, of course I do," even when they don't. Does the dentist actually know?
Yes, you can definitely tell in terms of the scale buildup in between teeth, the amount of staining, whether people are cleaning in between their teeth.
So they know we're lying or have been a little economical with the truth.
We've pretty much changed from flossing onto interdental brushes, these little bottle brushes. Flossing is quite a fiddle, and it's a difficult technique to learn. And interdental brushes are a bit more effective. And they're easier to use. So that's probably the recommendation these days. You quite rightly say people will say they're flossing and they lie. We've done surveys in the past and we know less than 5% of people floss on a regular basis from the sales of the stuff. But everybody will say, oh yes, they've got floss. What they mean is they could probably find one floss that they bought several years ago wherever they put it after they last used it to hang a picture up. It's not in common use, but interdental brushes fortunately are increasingly.
Okay, tell us a bit more about these interdental brushes, because I must admit, when I try and use them, they just get mangled. They don't fit between the gaps in my teeth.
It may be that you're one of the lucky people who can only use floss because your gums are so healthy that and your gaps are so tight that you can only get floss in between. But the little incidental brushes, they come in different sizes. It's important that you get the right size for the gaps in between your teeth. If, as most people do, there's a certain level of gum disease there, then we get these little triangular gaps between our teeth, and it's getting in between there that we're really trying to do with the incidental brushes. Discuss it with your dentist or hygienist, get using them with the right technique. They can be a little bit more awkward at the back of the mouth, but then they come with angles to get in there, or you bend the brush to an angle. So, as with everything, very often I think with our oral care regime, we've got the blind leading the blind. We've got parents teaching their children, and they've never been taught themselves. So, it's important we get that input from our dentist or hygienist so that we're cleaning our teeth properly.
Okay. Well, we covered up quite a few things: snacks, sugar in snacks, and cleaning your teeth, time of cleaning. What one takeaway would you like people to have from this chat?
I'm gonna have three.
All right. Have three.
Brush twice a day for 2 minutes at a time with a fluoride toothpaste, last minute and light on one other occasion. Cut down on those sugary attacks in between meals and visit the dentist regularly as often as they recommend.
Okay. Dr. Nigel Carter, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat.
Thank you very much to my guests on this week's show, and they were TV presenter Helen Skelton and Dr. Nigel Carter, the Chief Executive of the Oral Health Foundation. Thank you to you for listening, and have a healthy week until next week.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat.
If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week until next week.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.